Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Garrett just threw a punch, and Pittsburgh retaliating. Marquise Pouncey was kicking in there, and flags are flying.
Well, it's really ugly, and I have no idea what Myles Garrett is thinking. He brings down Mason Rudolph, and when they're on the ground, something is done or said, and Garrett loses it, rips the helmet off of Mason Rudolph.
Man, my goodness. It got ugly last night. It got very ugly last night. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you on a Football Friday. Tell you what, man, The result of that game is what you wanted if you're a Texans fan. The playoff race at the bottom for the sixth seed, wide open cluster. If the playoffs began today, the Raiders at 5-4 would be in. They're being chased by the Colts, Steelers, and a bunch of 500 or below teams. So the result you wanted was good enough. That's probably how we would have started the show. But nobody's even talking about that game because of what we just heard and what we saw last night. Myles Garrett swinging the helmet at Mason Rudolph, a total brawl. J-Lo, your immediate takeaways from that on a Football Friday presented by Coors Light.
Yeah, this was legit. A lot of times say, hey, they're fighting. You know, it's a melee. This was a melee. This is the definition. You start swinging a helmet at someone and connecting. And I'm going to get back to the connecting part because I think that's going to be key with a lot of the discussion that we're going to have on suspensions and moving forward. And even people, I think jobs are on the line, not the players per se. We'll get to all of that. But it was a legitimate, embarrassing melee for Myles Garrett, for the Browns, for the NFL. And this was one of those moments that, you know, there are certain things that the NFL can kind of, they address, but they have options to address, whether it's domestic violence with no video, or an arrest or something like that. There are variations of suspensions and punishments, right? And people complain about that, and maybe even legitimately and fairly. This is one of those where you have no choice. The NFL has no choice because it's right there in front of you. It was violent. It was crossing the line. And they're going to have no choice but to come down and to come down hard.
Myles Garrett deserves to be suspended for the rest of the season. I don't think anyone can dispute that. And there's a lot of players that I don't like in football that I still wouldn't wish them getting hit in the head with a helmet on anyone, on very few players. But I will say this. I would have felt less sorry for Mason Rudolph if that helmet would have crushed him and knocked him out cold. And I know that's harsh, but the reality of the situation is what Myles Garrett did was 100% worse. But when you try to rip a guy's helmet off like Mason Rudolph did, and then you try to kick him in the nuts
and
with a cleat.
He connected.
You're setting someone off already, and you're escalating the situation. And by the way, it's probably smart. My dad taught me this when I played Pee Wee. Don't try to fight someone when your helmet's off in football. That's a smart thing, especially when he's about 60 pounds bigger than you and probably benches about 200 more pounds. So I think Myles Garrett needs to be suspended for the rest of the season. But Mason Rudolph acted like a total punk in that situation, and he acted like an even bigger punk afterwards when he met with the media. Listen to Mason Rudolph talking about what went down last night.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty cowardly, kind of pretty bush league, which, you know, there's plenty of tape out there to watch. I haven't seen it replay, but yes.
You know, sparked it at all?
Once again, I mean, I got sacked once again. I mean, he had some work.
You don't know what sparked it. You grabbed his face mask.
No, he
bro.
Knows exactly what
like, what
sparked
do you mean
it.
You don't know what sparked it? You grabbed the dude's face mask, and then when he grabbed your face mask and he was stronger than you and he was able to actually get your face mask, you kicked him in the junk.
Yeah.
That's what sparked it.
Birds and kept on keeping on, and one thing led to another, so. But you can watch the tape, go back and check it out, and make your own assumptions.
You can watch the tape.
Be suspended for the rest of the year.
I don't know what the rules are. I don't know, but I know it's Bush League. I know he's, total coward move on his part. you know, I mean, it's okay though. You know, I'll take it. I'm not going to back down from any bully out there.
You know, I don't want to take away from
Say Myles Garrett deserves to be suspended the rest of the season.
Well, but I don't want to take away from how serious and stupid an incident this was for Myles Garrett.
It was dumb.
It was incredibly dumb.
But you get kicked in the junk. That brings out a different side of you.
But what's? Yeah, I totally agree.
If there's ever a time mm-hmm. where someone's going to rage to that point, you get kicked in the junk.
Yeah.
That's a lot of. There's a lot of men.
That's a
and
fight.
I'm not saying it's right.
That's a fight.
There's a lot of men, yeah. And I know self-control is important. Yeah. I know you got to draw the line somewhere, but there are a few things that will set a man off to where he blacks out and he has no regard for anyone or anything. And kicking him in the junk in cleats has to be at least top 10 on that list.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's two things, because Myles Garrett, I think, is going to be suspended for the remainder of the season.
He should.
6 games. I think there's going to be at least 3 other suspensions, and we'll get to those. But what's Bush League and what's cowardly is trying to pull the dude's helmet off while on the ground, kicking him in the boys, and then when you get hit, going palms up like, hey, look what he did. Look what he did to me. First of all, you know, quarterbacks are protected more than any other player on the field. It escalated. He did what he did. Myles Garrett snapped, and there's no apology for that. There's no excuse, I should say, for that. But for Mason Rudolph to say that after he knows what he did is that's what's Bush League, and that's what's cowardly.
It's embarrassing. And here's Baker Mayfield. I got to give Baker Mayfield some props, because with all this said, Myles Garrett is the guy that deserves the most hefty suspension.
Exactly.
And Baker Mayfield wasted no time to make that clear.
That's inexcusable. You know, I don't care, rivalry or not, we can't do that. That's kind of the history of, you know, what's been going on here lately, hurting yourself, and that's just endangering the other team. That's inexcusable. He knows that. I hope he does now. It's tough. We'll see.
Mason Rudolph, a friend of yours, Myles Garrett, a teammate of yours. What were you saying to your teammates over there to kind of calm everybody down?
I don't think there's anything in that moment that I can really say to calm him down. You know what? The reality is he's going to get suspended. We don't know how long, and that hurts our team. And we can't do that. We can't continue to hurt this team. It's inexcusable.
He's right. It's inexcusable. You know, and Myles Garrett said that. He said, I just lost my head, you know. And you pointed it out. The dude, you know, tried to wrestle his helmet off.
You got to keep your cool, but there are some times where you just can't keep it. And I got to think that someone trying to rip your helmet off and then kicking you in the junk is probably one of those things.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, this is another rule of thumb. This is kind of a rule of thumb in fights, and I'm not trying to act like a meathead or anything, but whenever someone's being held back, you have to hold the other guy back too. Because Myles Garrett has a 280-pound guy pushing him backwards while Mason Rudolph's coming from the side, a guy who had just kicked you in the junk. So in the future, and this is something where a lot of times if you see a fight or something like that, it's like, man, hold him back too, hold him back too. Mm-hmm. Mason Rudolph, as the guy has a 280-pounder in him, seconds after he kicked him in the junk, is attacking him. Like, it's ridiculous. I think Mason Rudolph deserves probably a 2-game suspension, and I think Myles Garrett should be suspended for the rest of the season. That's how I would lay this out. You can't not punish Mason Rudolph for this.
You cannot. If he is not punished, it's going to be an egregious error by the NFL. I think there's going to be probably 4 suspensions at least. I really do. I think, you know, obviously Myles Garrett's going to be suspended about, I think, 6 games. And the reason I say 6 games is this. There are 6 games remaining in this season. The Browns actually have an off chance of making the playoffs.
2 games out after that win.
With probably the easiest schedule of any potential playoff team. So what the NFL is going to avoid, and this is just how the NFL operates, for better or worse, they're going to suspend him for the rest of this year. Because if they suspend him for more than 6 games, that means the NFL is going to put themselves in a position, if the Browns make the playoffs, to either suspend Myles Garrett for a playoff game, which they don't want to do, or let him play in a playoff game and then suspend him for the first two or one or whatever regular season games next year. So they're not going to do that because the NFL is all about their image and making themselves look good, of course, no matter the circumstance. And so what I think is going to happen is going to be a 6-game suspension for him. It should be a 2-game suspension for Mason Rudolph. Pouncey's going to get a game. It should be for what he did, kicking Myles Garrett in the head when he was down. Should be more than one, but I think the NFL gets the network of what NFL players do, and that's protect your quarterback, et cetera. So they're only going to give him one, and then there might be another one as well.
I got two things nobody's talking about in regards to this fight. It's Football Friday with Lopez, Landry, and Figgy on Sports Radio 610. Number one, Mike Tomlin deserves a little bit of blame for this.
He does.
And the reason is, when the game's already chippy, you got all these helmet-to-helmet hits, you can see this escalating. When there's 14 seconds left and your quarterback has sucked to the point where it's 21-7 and there's 14 seconds left, run the ball or take a knee and take it to the crib.
Yeah.
Get your guys off the damn field. What if someone gets hurt? You've already seen how chippy it is. Get your ass off the field. There's 14 seconds left. This isn't NFL blitz where all of a sudden you're going to score in 3 seconds and get an onside kick. So get your ass off the field. That's number one with Mike Tomlin. Number two, nobody in this world wants it with one of the Pouncey brothers.
No.
How natural did he look kicking someone in the head?
Yeah.
Those guys, I know they went to Florida with Aaron Hernandez. Can you imagine how many poor, mouthy, punk college kids got beat to death by the Pouncey brothers and Aaron Hernandez? He looked about as comfortable as I've ever seen anyone. And when you heard him
after the
game,
he knew how to fight, that's for sure.
Well, listen to what he said, too. Here's what Pouncey had to say after the game when asked about the fight that went down.
Marquise, was there something that sparked it, you think? I mean,
no, I just said it was out of the blue.
Marquise, should Garrett be done for the year?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. We'll see how serious the NFL is about their players.
Do you expect anything to happen to you?
And at this point, who cares? My man got hit in the head with a helmet. I mean, I'll set whatever penalty it is.
Can you remember being that angry on a football field?
Nah, I blacked out. I don't even remember it, really.
I love that. I blacked out. The funniest part about it, he probably did. He probably went into a zone and just started, like, waylaying dudes, man.
Dude. And the thing is, he kept himself so together, like, it was so natural. He kicks him in the head, and then he's just sitting there normal, like, right, nothing's going on.
Not the first head I've kicked.
Nobody
ain't gonna be the last.
Nobody wants it with Pouncey. Good Lord. But bottom line is this, just to put a bow on this. Myles Garrett, the OG, and I agree, deserves to be suspended the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Mason Rudolph, total punk move and a real punk display at the podium afterwards. He needs to be suspended as well. You don't try to rip someone's helmet off and then kick him in the junk with cleats.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be other suspensions. And as far as the game itself, it means the AFC playoff race is wilder now than it was before last night. What a way to start a Football Friday, OG.
What a way. And all of a sudden, this came out of nowhere. And number 65 for the Browns, that Ogunjobi, he's going to get suspended a game. That's the guy I was thinking of. Because he's the one that came in late and just started.
The blindside push.
And I think he waylaid somebody else, too. So I'm going to predict Garrett 6 games. Mason Rudolph 2 games, should be 2 games. If it's anything less than that, it's gonna be crazy. Pouncey one game and Ogunjobi 1 game.
Good Lord, what a Thursday night football game. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you on a Football Friday, presented by Coors Light. Jamesy Hedebo coming in at noon. We're gonna hear from Vince Wilfork at 11.
You want to hear from Vince Wilfork?
And we are 2 days away from the most anticipated regular season game of the Bill O'Brien era. We know what guys are saying now about Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson, but let's go back in time and listen to what they were saying before they came into the NFL. There's going to be a lot of crow served next. Talking about the fight from last night on a Football Friday, bottom line, Myles Garrett deserves to be suspended, but Mason Rudolph's a punk. He's a total punk. He tried to rip his helmet off. He tried to kick him in the junk. So he's a punk. And then after the game, he went up to the podium and acted surprised that something went down. There's a lot of times where you black out.
What did I do?
You black out, and a lot of times you lose control. Getting kicked in the junk with cleats is probably one of those things that would cause you to black out. But either way, Myles Garrett suspended for the year. Mason Rudolph should be suspended as well. He's a punk. Marquise Pouncey, that was Marquise Pouncey, right?
Yeah.
Marquise Pouncey, nobody wants to fight him, and that's not the first time he stomped someone in the head. And Mike Tomlin deserves a little bit of blame, because when you're down two possessions, the game's already chippy, 14 seconds left, take a knee, take it to the crib. What'd you think? Mason Rudolph was going to lead a comeback? Did you watch him play the whole time?
He was awful, by the way.
He probably should have been benched.
He was awful.
He would have threw another interception. Yeah,
I don't know what's going to happen with suspensions and stuff, but the Steelers better dang sure be at Kaepernick's workout on Saturday.
I mean, that was garbage. But 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. We're going to go back in time and listen to what the experts who are now praising Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson were saying then compared to now. But before we do, we'll take some calls. 713-572-4610. Let's go to Daryl. Daryl, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on? I got a question for you guys. We play next week, don't we? Next Thursday, right?
Thursday, yes.
All right. Last night was a Thursday game. We got a Colts. I consider the Colts a rivalry. I do, me personally. I just say that happened to Deshaun Watson. Who is the Marquise Pounce on our team? I'm going with Howard. Titus Howard.
Titus Howard, okay.
I think it's going to be Marquise Pounce. It's Tunsil.
I don't think they have one. I think they're smarter than
Tunsil.
Oh, he's talking about
like who's gonna have his back? It's gonna be Tunsil. Tunsil's gonna beat the hell out of somebody.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got Tuns?
Yeah.
Okay. 713-572-4610. Marcus, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey man, you know, everybody is giving both sides, and I've been watching Max talk about this on ESPN. But I don't understand. You're a quarterback, you're a quick thinker, you're smart. The guy is much bigger and stronger than you. You tried to take his helmet off. He was unsuccessful. And then he has the helmet in his hand. And you still go run over to him.
He did.
What?
He did. You know what I think part of that is?
Pretty funny.
And that's
the hold me back era?
No, you know what I think part of it that is? First of all, Mason Rudolph is the most protected guy on the field. And I think he was like, I'm going to come at this guy because I know I won't really have to fight. You know, like all his offensive linemen and everybody else. And, of course, he lost his head too, obviously, for doing that. And then the thing that just made me go, come on, man, was when he got finally hit after kicking the
and
dude.
And then raises his hands up.
Goes palms up like, what? What happened? I didn't do anything. Come on, man. He deserves at least two games.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was a terrible display. The display at the podium. Let's hear that one more time. Here's Mason Rudolph after this. Okay, you know what happened. Maybe he was talking to you. Maybe it was getting chippy. I understand that. But, dude, like, you tried to rip his helmet off, and then you kicked him in the junk with cleats. Like, don't go up to the podium and act like a total idiot.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty cowardly, kind of pretty bush league, which, you know, there's plenty of tape out there to watch. I haven't seen it replay, but yes.
You know, sparked it at all?
Once again, I mean, I got sacked once again. I mean, it you know, he had some words and kept on keeping on, and one thing led to another. So, but you can watch the tape, go back and check it out, and make your own assumptions. So,
you think he should be suspended for the rest of the year?
I don't know what the rules are. I don't know, but I know it's Bush League. I know he's, you know, total coward move on his part. You know, I mean, it's okay though. You know, I'll take it. I'm not going to back down from any bully out there. So.
I want to ask you this though, John, and this
he's
this
trying
is
to be a
question.
Martyr now.
I get that there's a line to be drawn anywhere. There's a line in the sand, but where is the line? We both agree that swinging a helmet is taking it too far.
Yeah.
But where is the line in the sand if a grown man with cleats on kicks you in the nuts? Seriously, where's the line? Tell me, because I know we agree that the helmet is too far. Tell me where the line is there. As soon as you kick someone in the coconuts with cleats on, tell me where the line is. Where is the line in the sand?
I think the line in the sand is fluid. And the reason I say that is when someone does like that and it sparks you into a rage, then you do stupid things, right? Mason Rudolph first of all, Garrett, and some texters are pointing this out. Garrett he pushed him into the ground and was going to get a penalty there for driving Rudolph into the ground. That happens probably, 60% of the games that we see, somebody gets a penalty for hitting the quarterback late or driving him into the ground or falling on top of him. That happens in an NFL game. That's not the line, right? All of a sudden, he starts twisting Garrett's head and helmet and trying to pull his helmet off. Well, that's pretty dang close to a line. That's going to be at least, you know, shoves and whatever else. You kick him in the boys, and Garrett goes off. There is no excuse for what Garrett did. But there is a point where you cross the line, and Mason Rudolph crossed the line right there. He absolutely did.
He did. 713-572-4610.
And then to be a martyr afterwards. Mason Rudolph's going to be the guy that in you know 40 years, when he's on his porch rocking chair with his grandkids on his lap, he's going to tell them about that time that he beat up 14 Cleveland Browns on the last play of a game or late in a game, even though there's only 11 on the field. He's going to embellish this story and talk about how he was a victim and everything else. That was a bad thing for him.
It was foolish. And let's be honest, Mason Rudolph was terrible yesterday. He was absolutely awful. We're definitely going to see better quarterback play in 2 days from Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. We know how much praise they're getting right now. Everybody is singing the praises of Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. But let's go back in time before the draft, before these guys became the talk of the NFL, and listen to what the experts were saying back then. This is Mel Kiper, who had Mitchell Trubisky and Deshaun Kizer ahead of Deshaun Watson in his draft rankings. It's a true story, Figgy. If you don't believe me, just listen to this.
I'm not sure Mitch Trubisky could throw that game against Alabama. I'm not sure Deshaun Kizer could as well. Feels like a tough judgment on Deshaun Watson. Why isn't he ahead of those guys?
Well, you're talking about a great college quarterback, David. Who's best equipped to be a great NFL quarterback? It's a big difference there. They were worn out, that Alabama defense. They were worn out last year. Okay, that's the difference in college football and the NFL. Deshaun Watson in the second half took advantage of that. In the first half, they did nothing, okay? Second half, I think it was more of that tired, worn-out Alabama defense allowed for a lot of those opportunities and some contested catches. Hunter Renfro, to me, was the MVP.
What's your chief knock against Watson as an NFL quarterback?
Well, I think the preciseness and the accuracy throwing the football, and we don't know how tall he is. Is he 6'2", legit? Is he 6'1", and change? We'll see at the combine. You don't have measurables, accurate measurables, until the combine for underclassmen. Keep in mind, we're talking about this great game last night. The Heisman Trophy went to somebody else because the whole totality of the season was taken into context there. And I think you look at the early to mid portion, Deshaun had some struggles with decision-making and accuracy. He got better late in the year, and he culminated with another great performance against Alabama, same as what happened last year. Does that mean he'll be a first-round pick? He could be, but right now Mitch Trubisky's number one solidly, and then you have Kizer.
What?
What is going on? What a whiff. Let's see what they said about Lamar Jackson. The second Lamar Jackson was selected 32nd overall in 2018. This is the immediate analysis of Lamar Jackson.
I think this is a great situation with Joe Flacco to kind of take him under his wing and help him learn about the game. He can have a red shirt year or two, learn about the professional system and what it takes to really succeed. Don't underestimate Bobby Petrino, his play caller at Louisville, used to call plays in the NFL. He's learned a very sophisticated college playbook, which I think will help with his learning curve. Guy has a huge arm, can make every throw you want to see. He has once-in-a-generation quickness and escapability, and I know it's the NFL, and I know he's slight, and you got to be concerned about that. He's got to get down. But the creativity is what gets people excited about his game. But please, don't underestimate how he can throw the football. I've seen it firsthand. Duke can throw it.
I thought the pro day actually was more accurate than people I thought were giving him credit for. I mean, he airmailed a couple, but not what you would have thought. I think his accuracy has improved. The opposite awareness has worked. There's no question that the fact that in Baltimore with Joe Flacco, he's going to have 2 to 3 years.
2 to 3 years?
Well, he wasn't too far off.
2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
He said to step on the field. He stepped on the field year one and made the playoffs.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, he was way off.
But in terms of starts,
he was way off, John. Yeah. Way off. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you on a football Friday. Some stuff nobody's talking about heading into the big game on Sunday. And I got to spend some one-on-one time with a guy who's going to be a big factor in if the Texans can pull this win off. We didn't originally expect him to be one, but he is one, and we'll hear from him next. Big game, 2 days, Football Friday here on Sports Radio 610. Texans versus Ravens. There's a lot of stuff that people are talking about, the quarterback matchup, the opportunity ahead, Harbaugh versus Bill O'Brien, all that kind of stuff. But there's also some stuff that people are not talking about, specifically the role of Charles Omenihu in this game. Because when Charles Omenihu was drafted by the Texans, he thought he was coming to a team with J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney, and his learning process was going to be not slower,
right,
but a little more fluid.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have a huge role in this type of game, mm-hmm, and ideally he would be a guy that came in situationally.
He would be tutored and mentored.
But we've seen what's happened since. What's happened since, J-Lo?
Well, J.J. is out, and the pass rush has been relatively non-existent because Whitney Mercilus is slow to a crawl in terms of getting to the quarterback.
This is correct, John.
Yeah.
This is 100% correct. And I got to spend some time with Charles Amenihu yesterday. He spent some time with Seth. If you heard that earlier this morning, very insightful stuff between Seth and Charles. But I got to talk to him afterwards about his role and what he expects to see heading into this game on Sunday.
How'd you spend your first bye week as a pro?
Oh, I was here.
You just chilled here?
Yeah, I was just chilled here. I didn't really do too much. My mind was on the Ravens during the bye week.
How you mentioned in that game, how big is this one, man? I mean, I know everybody's the week to week, the cliches, all that. We make fun of that a lot on our show, but like, man, I mean, everybody's talking about the Ravens. They're obviously where you want to get to that two seed and everything like that. Does this feel like a little bit more than just another game?
I mean, it is what it is, man. It's a game. It's a big game, obviously. But like you said, every game's been a big game, and like it's a cliche that everybody uses, but it's true.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't just put a little bit in one game and then be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna play everything in this game. It has to be a consistent thing, because that's the only way you're a consistent kind of guy and player, and that's what you need to last in this league as a team, as an individual. So, but yeah, definitely this game is big. A lot of implications to it. Two really good teams are going at it. So we just have to be on our P's and Q's.
You feel like you seem like you're always talking about, you know, you seem like you have a chip on your shoulder, you know, you didn't like when you were drafted and stuff. You feel like so far that you've made a lot of people look silly?
I wouldn't say that.
Have you been pleased with what you've done so far at this point in your career?
Nah. I feel like I've had an opportunity that slipped away. I feel like I could have had more plays that I was just a second, you know what I'm saying, faster here and there, and whatever I was doing, I could have made a bigger play. But I think it's all a part of being a rookie, going through rookie bumps. Some rookies are having immediate success, like success every game and doing what they do. Some rookies are up and down, and I think right now I've been up and down. I just want to be more consistent, kind of flow this second half of the year, and I think that's when I've become a little more pleased by how I've been.
All right, last one. Obviously, when you got drafted, man, you know, Clowney, Watt, we're going to be there now. You're going into the biggest game, and your role's a little bit bigger. You're not going to have those guys, man. What's that like, man?
I mean,
are you going to go next man up cliche on me now, too?
No, it's what that's the situation that's been brought up to me, you know what I'm saying? So I got to take advantage at first, you know what I'm saying? It was just more so third down. Kind of guy, occasional rotation in like first and second down, and now it's first, second, and third down, you know what I'm saying? So I just have to take advantage of that and improve every week, because I mean, as a rookie and rookie D lineman, fifth round pick, you know what I'm saying? Some things are, you feel like it's a slower come up, but right now it's like I'm on it.
You
right
gotta
now.
Get there, you're on the coaster.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why I'm so detailed in what I do, my game plan and the playbook, studying who I'm going against, because I know I'm expected to make plays out there because I'm out there so many snaps.
For sure. All right. Appreciate you, man.
The thing about this that I think is very interesting, and Seth brought this up when he was with him, talking to Charles Amenihu, being young is actually an advantage in this game Sunday, especially from the Big 12, because we talk about Big 12 defenses, and there's a lot of reason to talk about Big 12 defenses. But this offense that the Ravens run is similar to what a lot of Big 12 teams are running.
Yeah.
So really, you know, if you're a veteran, like a 9 or 10 year veteran like J.J. Watt, and you're from the Big 10, it might be a little bit unfamiliar for you. I'm not sitting here saying I would rather have Charles Amenihu out there than J.J. Watt, but I do think that there is something to be said for facing Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and these type of offenses. Oklahoma State, they do the same type of stuff. And then seeing Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
I think it has more to do with just familiarity of the concepts, not necessarily the players. Because J.J. Watt is more in tune with the speed of the NFL than Amenihu, you know. And Clowney is more in tune with the speed. Mercilus, just go down the list. But the concept of what's happening in front of you, you're right. They might have just a little more of a comfort level. Amenihu might, you know, facing the concept of run-pass option, some of the things that he's going to do, the quarterbacks keeping the ball in those situations. It's quite possible, but it was funny when you were talking with him there He asked him about, you know, not having Clowney and J.J. Watt. He basically said, yes, Landry, I am aware. He goes, I'm aware of what the situation is.
Yeah, and you know the funniest part? This is the funniest part about this. It wasn't a big deal because I've maybe a little too extreme. What I say about a player, I'll say in the locker room. Like if I'd had some criticism and I'm asking the question because of that.
I've been there. I've heard you.
I'll throw the criticism.
Yeah.
Seth was talking to a Minihu, and Seth's talking to him about his hand placement. Mm-hmm. And Seth goes, yeah, so is that something you always had as a youngster and mm-hmm. all that stuff or what? And Charles just kind of laughs and goes, nah, man, when I came in my freshman year, I was raw as hell. And Seth goes, oh, yeah, Landry was actually talking about how raw you were. And I was like, yes.
Thanks, Seth.
I was like, yes,
I was. Is that a bus backing up, I hear?
I was like, yes, I was. Yes, I was. I'm glad you agree with me there, sir. Mm-hmm. What if he just said, what the hell is he talking about?
Yeah. He did. That dude right there? Where's my helmet? Start chunking that helmet at you, Landry.
The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig. It is a football Friday, but there's also a lot of news about the Astros cheating. I mean,
and it just continues to grow. Term,
it continues to grow. The evidence continues to pile up. The man who has been putting out videos of the Astros cheating, a guy who, you say what you want, he is a huge Yankees fan. He doesn't hide that.
Yeah.
But as far as breaking down baseball, I don't think there are very many better that I follow that do it in an entertaining fashion than John Boy of John Boy Media. Mm-hmm. He's going to join the show at noon.
That guy is joining the show. The guy whose video, if you don't know exactly who it is, the guy who has been breaking down videos, people have been sending him videos of the Astros, I shouldn't say the Astros, but banging sounds and whistling sounds while the Astros are at bat under the allegations of electronic sign stealing and other things. He will be joining us at noon. So that is a must listen right there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because mm-hmm. he's getting a lot of smoke, and I don't think he really deserves it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's makes no mistake. Down, yeah, he's a Yankees fan, but
yeah.
I mean, he's just putting out the videos.
Yeah.
I don't see anything really wrong with it. So
he didn't launch the investigation.
He didn't, but he's damn sure putting some advice out there.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to him. We'll talk to Jamesy Hedebo as well at noon. It is a football Friday here on Sports Radio 610. Here's some other stuff that I don't think people are talking about enough
mm-hmm.
in anticipation of Sunday's game. Someone who I think could be a key factor in this game, Jahlil Adai. I think there's going to be more safeties on the field.
Yep.
And Jahlil Adai was on the field the last time that Lamar Jackson had significant struggles in an NFL game. It was in the playoffs last year, the divisional round. The Chargers, they were using 6 and 7 defensive backs against Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Jahlil Adai had 6 tackles in that game.
I think you're 100% right. I also feel that, I mean, we were listening to Romeo Crennel yesterday. Well, I won't make it a loaded question. Based on what Romeo Crennel said yesterday when we were at NRG, how do you think he's going to approach Lamar Jackson defensively? Because I picked up on something. I want to know if you do. So what do you think, Romeo, what's going to be their first, you know, attempt to stop Lamar Jackson? Based on what Romeo said yesterday.
I think they're going to use a spy, but I don't think they're going to do it the whole time.
That's weird. Because we have the Romeo audio, and we'll play it later. But when he said that about the spy, somebody asked him if they're going to use spy against Lamar Jackson. He said, yeah, you can use a spy, but just because you have a spy doesn't mean you're fast enough to catch Lamar Jackson. And I'm paraphrasing, that wasn't the exact quote. I think it's the exact opposite. I think he's just going to put extra DBs on the field to kind of fill the lanes quicker. And remember, keep in mind, they've been signing DBs. They're getting safeties healthy. I think they're going to try to just stuff the run, which they're really good at. As we talked about yesterday, that's their identity. And they will not use a spy, because I keep going back to this. What else happens when you use a spy? And we're going to talk to James Ahedebo about this at noon, too. We got John Boy coming in. We got James Ahedebo coming in. He played for the Ravens. He's been a defensive back. He can address this. When you have a spy, especially a safety on a quarterback, on a mobile quarterback, you're generally going to be in man-to-man. Now the Texans are generally in a cushion man-to-man anyway. But when that happens and the receivers go into routes, the DBs turn their backs on the quarterback. I don't think Romeo wants any of his DBs turning their backs on Lamar Jackson, because that could be a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I mean, it would.
Yeah.
I don't think Romeo really... Why does Romeo seem so, like, comfortable right now?
I mean, he's a laid-back dude, first of all.
Yeah, but
when he was under heat...
He seems to...
As a head coach, he was always pretty laid-back.
You know I'm a podium critic.
Yeah.
He just seems to really feel confident about this defense.
He's
right
happy.
Now.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why.
Well, I mean, they're playing pretty darn good. I mean, especially against the run. But I also feel he's just kind of laid back. I mean, you might be right. He might use some, you know, just to change the look a little bit, use a spy some. But I don't think that's going to be the go-to.
I think the spy will be there on, like, third down. Like, third and seven, third and eight, mm-hmm. maybe a spy. But I think it's going to be a safety. Yeah. You know, we talked about this
100%.
We talked about this a few weeks ago. You know, you brought in Jahlil Adai. He's been very good for you. You got Tashaun Gibson, who, by the way, likes to guard tight ends. So you got three tight ends on Baltimore. Tashaun this is his dream right here. There's a lot of guys he's going to have to guard. And you signed Mike Adams, the 38-year-old safety, former Pro Bowler. And we were wondering why.
Right.
He had a good game against Jacksonville.
Yeah, he did.
He had one of the six best grades on defense for the Texans, according to Pro Football Focus.
Mm-hmm.
All these safeties, I think they're gonna come into play here.
I think they're gonna use a lot, but maybe not necessarily a lot of spying. I think they're gonna have extra DBs on the field.
I don't think they're gonna do it the whole time.
Just for speed purposes.
You can't do it the whole time because eventually the quarterback's gonna figure out.
I think he's gonna get as fast as he can. I'll keep it simple. I think he's gonna be as fast as he can on the defensive side of the ball. And that means more DBs.
OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Sports Radio 610. What about on the offensive side of the ball for the Texans? Offensively, this came up a lot yesterday when we were out there at NRG. Do you take time of possession into account when factoring how good the Ravens offense is? Do you think time of possession, do you really think Bill O'Brien's going to head into this game and say, you know, we really got to control the rock. We got to keep this offense off the field. Because I don't think so. I think they're going to try to score.
Yeah, I
as much as possible. I would even love to see some up-tempo.
I don't put a lot of stock in time of possession anyway. But with two teams that are going to be running run-pass options, it almost matters. It's meaningless. It's absolutely meaningless. Because I think this is going to be filled with a lot of explosive plays. I mean, not to sound... you know, stating the obvious here with those two quarterbacks. But I think they're going to go RPO heavy, some explosive plays. It's not going to matter a bit. Now, the only time it'll matter is if the Texans start establishing their run game. If they get a lead and start establishing a run game just to keep Lamar Jackson off the field, then it will matter. But, by and large, I don't think it will.
713-572-4610 to get in. Again, John Boy. The man who's been putting out all the videos about the Astros, he's going to be joined by us. Seth said he wants to know if John Boy is going to try to expose the other teams as well. Because there's seven other teams. We'll ask him. Ask him about the criticism he's been getting. Ask him to put himself in the shoes of Astros fans. Because he is a Yankee fan. He makes no mistake about that. But he follows baseball as a whole. And his breakdowns aren't just Yankee videos. They aren't just Astros. He has some very good breakdowns. I just want to ask him because I think the right approach for a fan in this is to just say, yeah, we cheated, whatever.
Right.
So what?
Right.
Not deny, and kill the messenger.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the weakest kind of crutches that people do. We talked about that a little bit as well. But I'm looking forward to it. That's a question worth asking on John Boy. And certainly he's been putting up videos like in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know,
he's getting those from people. Like he's
yeah,
not
a lot of baseball fans are sending him to him.
A lot of baseball fans, a lot of execs, I'm sure too.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean seriously, no, he's getting it from from people that want to expose it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like this guy is going and watching every damn Astros game and just trying to catch the whistles and the bangs on the trash can. That's not how it's going. He's obviously getting steered in the direction, and like any smart person would, he's putting it out there. But we'll talk to him. If you have any questions for him, 713-572-4610, we'll get those in. We're just going to see where he's coming from, what his motivation is, and just what he thinks about this whole thing. So John Boy at noon here on a Football Friday. James E. Hedebo, who won a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens, going to join us as well. Another guy with a Super Bowl ring who played for the Houston Texans, Vince Wilfork. He joined the show yesterday. He talked about Deshaun Watson, the state of this team, and what his go-to barbecue plate is. We'll hear from Vince Wilfork next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.